Okay, I'm gonna have a little bit of a shorter shoot today because I'm trying to make it over for the bris at Share. Okay, we left off a few lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Bava Basra Daf Mem. Just one or two last comments from the very last Indian we were discussing yesterday, and that is whether a chazaka needs to be renewed every 3 years, or you just say a macha rather needs to be renewed every 3 years, or you just make a macha once and that covers you for good, right? So that was the discussion we were having at the very end of yesterday's shir. So just a couple of points. Number one, Tosos Dibra Maskel Kivan. Right on the line where the Gemara said, "Kibun shemicha shana rishana shuvin sarach limchos," that as soon as you make a macha once during the 3 years, you don't need to renew your macha. There was even a havamina that maybe you need to renew your macha every year. So he says, "No, you make a macha once during the 3 years. That's for sure fine. You don't need to renew your macha every year." So it says Tosus pirish hakuntros at sof gimel shanim. When do you need to renew your macha? After 3 years. At the end of 3 years. So Fractosus Vim Tomer Masnisen here. Of course you don't. What's the Havamina? Of course you don't need to renew your Macha every single year. It's enough in a Mishnah. Dekatani Ad Kadeshi Yachzik Shana V'yodi Uhu Shana V'yavol Shana Acheres V'yimcha. But according to Yehuda, what's the whole purpose of Cheskas Gimel Shanim? Is let the guy stay there for a year, then you'll travel for a year to let the Marakama know that someone's staying in his field. And then it will take him a year to get back to make the macha. But when's he making the macha? Not until the end of 3 years. So how could you have a havamina to say that you need to make a macha every single year of the 3 years? You see, beferish in the Mishnah that the macha is first made at the very end of the 3 years. Alma de'in tzarech limchos rak pamachas toch gemil shanim. So you see clearly the macha only happens once in the 3 years, because the first macha in the case of the Mishnah didn't happen till the end of the 3 years. So obviously it only happened once during the 3 years. So what's the havamina now for the Gemara to say that a macha needs to be renewed every single year? So it says Tosos v'yeshlomar di'imi masnisin havamina de'in tzarech kiyam macha achas besof gimel. Aval micha b'tchilas gimel v'shuv lo micha b'kolos and gimel sal kadaitach demoda shehi shalom. That there's a distinction between the case of our Mishnah and the Gemara's Havamin over here. In the case of the Mishnah, yes, there's only one macha during the 3 years, but when is it? It's at the end of the 3 years. So I might have thought that we give you 3 years to make your first macha, but once you make your first macha, you still need to renew it every year. So if you made your first macha during year number one, you're going to need to renew that macha in year number two, and again in year number three. But when you only made your first macha in year number three, okay, so that works. You didn't make your first macha yet. That's what the havamina would have been. Ve'ein lefarish te'ein tzarech limchos ad olam, dimkein plugi ad reish lakish vavlil memar reish lakish amar. And then Tosafot says, and don't assume that this line, Kivan Shemicha Shana Rishona Shuvin Tzarech Limchos, means that once you make one macha, you never have to make another macha again. Meaning Rashi is correct, Rashbam is correct, that once you make the first macha, you don't have to make another macha until you don't have to make another macha till the 3 years are up. But after the 3 years are up, this line is saying you would need to make a new macha. Don't think for a second it means that once you make one macha, you never have to make another macha ever again. How do I know that it doesn't mean that, says Tosos? Because we're going to find that Reish Lakish says Beferish that you do need to renew a macha every 3 years. And if Reish Lakish were arguing, this line were arguing on Reish Lakish, it should have said Reish Lakish Amar instead of Amar Reish Lakish. Right? That's usually an indication of whether something's a machlokas or not. If it says Amar Reish Lakish, so it just does not indicate machlokas. It just means to say that Reish Lakish also says. But when it says Reish Lakish Amar, so it's trying to show a contrast. It's saying, yes, we have a shita that says A, but Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, which implies a contrast, that Reish Lakish is going to be cholik. But you know, from the Lashon of the Gemara, it does not say Reish Lakish Amar, it says Amar Reish Lakish. So if it says Amar Reish Lakish, the implication is that there is no machlokas over here. So if Reish Lakish will say macha needs to be renewed every 3 years, this statement of Kivin Shemicha Shana Rishon Shuvin Tzarech Limchos must also be saying that a macha needs to be renewed every 3 years. So I mentioned yesterday, though, at the very end, that this concept of Tzarech Limchos B'Sof Kol Gimel requires further analysis in light of two things. First of all, what's the svara? Why should you need a new macha every 3 years? And second of all, didn't we have a Gemara that seemed to be against it? So we'll start with one thing at a time. So first, the idea that Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara, you need to make a macha at the end of each at the end of every 3 years. That a macha needs to be renewed every 3 years. So says the Rashbam, the Afal Gav the Mishemicha Shana Rishona Shuvein Tzarich Limchos. Even though we just said that when you make a macha the first year, you don't need to make it again, hani mili b'hanu gimel. That means you don't need to make the macha again within those 3 years. Avo b'sof gimel tzarek limchos adayin, t'lo navi t'vashnim b'lo macha. But at the end of 3 years, you will have to make another macha because you can't go 3 years without a macha. T'tlashnin mizdarin shpishtari achra macha t'feilo mizdar v'hachi uchsa. So says Rosh Brahm, what's the svara? Why do you need to renew your macha every 3 years? Because even if you made a macha once, the guy's not going to watch his shtar forever. The assumption is he'll watch his shtar for 3 years. More than 3 years, he's not going to watch his shtar. So even after the macha, he'll assume after 3 years that whatever problem you had with him being there, you somehow calmed down and the problem went away. The afleg of the Taibar Rabbi Yochanan, tmiya haya, aval yari haya lach lakal bar kapar. Now, even though Rabbi Yochanan was toa on this and he says, I don't understand, a gazlan has a chazaka, how could that be? You accused him of being a gazlan, so how could he develop a chazaka after an accusation was already made? He should have to watch his shtar forever. Right? Rabbi Yochanan wasn't happy about this idea of having to renew your macha every 3 years. Says Rosh Bam, he wasn't happy about it, but he wasn't arguing. He was just saying he didn't understand it. But he wasn't arguing lahalacha because he wouldn't argue on bar kapara. V'gam rach pasaken, and the rach holds this way as well, that a macha needs to be renewed every 3 years. That's shot number one. Why does macha need to be renewed every 3 years? Simply because a person watches over his shtar for only 3 years after a macha. Meaning macha is a warning to watch over your shtar, it just restarts the clock. But it doesn't make it that a person's always going to protect the shtar, it just restarts the clock of the 3 years of how long he's going to watch over his shtar. Pshat number two, says the Rashbam, v'yesh mefarshim taimed tzarech limchos b'sof gimel k'dei shlo yitol nachar amacha machartali. Says Rashbam, pshat number two, you know why you need to renew your macha every 3 years? Because otherwise the guy who's machzik might come back with another taina and say, yes, I remember you made a macha 5 years ago that I stole the land, and I did at that time steal the land. But since then, I like the land so much, and I went and I offered you money for it, and you accepted my offer. I've bought it since then, and look, I have a chazaka. I bought it 5 years ago, you made a macha. 4 years ago, I bought it, and now I have a chazaka. So in order to avoid the person coming with such a taina, so that's why you need to renew your macha every 3 years, so that he'll never be able to have a chazaka with a new taina, the new taina that he bought it. So says Rashbam, though, he doesn't like that pshat. He says, "V'lo nehira, dekiven dal karcha modi d'meikar alav b'toras mechira nachas ba elu neman lomar achre kein exact ba b'toras mechira." If we know for a fact, and the guy is moda, that when he first came into this field, he was stealing it, and he did not have any permission to be there. There's no way that later on we're just going to say, "Yeah, it's okay." We're going to believe him to say, "Yeah, but then my relationship changed with the Marakama, and in fact, I bought it from him, and he was willing to sell it to me." If we know that when he came into this field, when he moved in b'toras gezel, we're not going to accept a claim afterwards that it wasn't that he had then purchased it at a later date. So Rashbam does not like that second pshat. Says Tosfos, he agrees with the Rashbam. Ein lefarish the time of shalom yomar lekachti achar macha kedepir shakuntrus. Don't say the reason is that the guy shouldn't be able to claim that he bought it after the macha, like the Rashbam says. Because he himself was moda that when he first came into the field, it was not b'toras mechira, it was b'toras gezel. So he's not believed to say afterwards that he had purchased it. Va'odin, furthermore, Dim Kain Shapir Kari Le Gazlan, then there would be no problem with Rav Yochanan calling him a Gazlan. Right? Rav Yochanan says, how could it be that you need to renew your macha? How could a Gazlan ever get a macha? And the Gemara says, Gazlan? Who's a Gazlan over here? But if you're going to say like this, Pshat, what do you mean, who's a Gazlan over here? The guy is moded that he was a Gazlan. He absolutely is a Gazlan. There shouldn't be any problem. The Gemara shouldn't say, Gazlan Salkadaitach? No, yes, he absolutely is a Gazlan. Rather, the first pshat of the Rashbam is correct, that we assume that a person will watch over his shtar for 3 years after macha. The macha restarts the clock on the chazaka. But now Tos says we get into the second issue. What about the Gemara we had previously? We had a Gemara in Dav Lamed Amud Beis, going over Dav Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that had the following case. Two guys come and they say that, one guy comes, I'm sorry, and says that he has a chazak on the property, and someone else comes and says that he has a shtar mechira, that he had purchased the property. So who do we believe? Right? So we said that if the person who has the chazaka has been machzik in it for 6 years, and the shtar mechira was written 4 years ago, so the shtar mechira came before the chazaka was final, and the person with the shtar mechira wins. If the person who has the chazaka has had it for 7 years, 10 years, and the shtar mechira was written 4 years ago, the guy with the chazaka wins, because his chazaka predates the shtar. Right? He had a full 3 years of chazaka prior to the shtar. So it tells us, wait a second, go back to that first case. 6 years ago the chazaka began. 4 years ago a shtar was written. So the Gemara said, why is the chazaka ineffective? Ein macha gedola mizu. There's no greater macha the marakama can make than to sell the field to somebody else. The fact that he sold the field to somebody else after you were living there for 2 years shows that he's making a macha. And therefore, the muchzak does not develop a chazaka. But wait a second. Yeah, he didn't have a chazaka before the mechira, but he's been living there since then also. And it's been 4 years. You made one macha. When was the macha? 2 years into it. But he said 4 years since then without you saying a word. If you hold you need to renew a macha every 3 years in order to stop the chazaka from happening, then that guy should have been muchzak in that case. In the 4 years since then he was muchzak because he never made another macha. So Tosfos says that ulahai taima, according to this exclamation of the Gemara that we're giving now, that if the guy's been there for 6 years, that there's no greater macha than that, pliga hachta hacha. You have to say that it's in disagreement with our sugya. To come to tzarek limchos kol gimel, because our Gemara in Echnami says you need to make a macha every 3 years. Now, wait a second. Once you have another Gemara that's preferish against our Gemara, so when Rashbam was dealing with Psak Halacha, do you need to renew Macha every 3 years or not? So what was Rashbam concerned about? He was concerned, well, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't so happy with it. Yeah, but even Rabbi Yochanan was only questioning it. He wasn't necessarily arguing. That's all he had. Otherwise, of course you would need to renew every 3 years. Tosfos is pointing out, no, there's another Beferish Gemara that's against this idea of renewing every 3 years. That might influence how we're going to paskin la halacha. Venira says Tosfos, de kahahi hilchasa, de stamma de Gemara ka'amala, velo kamosha pasuk rach, da halacha kabar kapara. He says, you have a stamma de Gemara, and daf lamin amin beis, going over to lamin aleph amin aleph, that paskins that you don't need to renew macha every 3 years. Over here we have the sheet of Bar Kapara that you do need to renew. A stam of the Gemara beats out a sheet of Bar Kapara, and therefore we're going to paskin that you do not need to renew Macha every 3 years. So that's how you have Machlokas Rishonim right here on the page, whether you need to renew the Macha Lahalacha every 3 years or not. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara, 4 lines to the bottom. Tani Bar Kapara. Irer Chazav Irer Chazav Irer. If a person keeps on making different Machas, the only thing is, he's, let's say, every 3 years, he's renewing his macha, like Bar Kapara requires. Or, as Rashbam says, Hu adin l'mocha gimel machas betoch shalach shanim. It could be he's making different machas even within the 3 years. He's not, these aren't necessarily all halachically required machas, but they're machas that he's making. And he keeps on saying a different claim. First he says, this guy stole my field. Then he says, this guy's in my field, but you should know that he's only a worker in the field. He's only an aris, and therefore I don't want him to develop a chazaka. He keeps changing the claim. Every time he's claiming that the field belongs to him, and he's claiming the field does not belong to the machzik, but he's saying in different reasons for the machzik being there. The machzik's a gazlan, the machzik's an aris, the machzik's a mashkanta desura, whatever it is, he keeps changing the claim. So what's the halacha then? So if the claim is always the same, so it's always the same, so there's nothing to talk about, then you're allowed to make as many machas as you want, and that stops the chazaka from taking place. But if he keeps changing the claim, then the machzik is going to be machzik in the karka. We do not assume that this is a valid macha. Why? Says Rashbam, 4 lines from the bottom, That since the two machos, tainos are machisho zu azu, since they contradict each other, the macha is totally invalid. Both machos are invalid. The first one, the last one, the mid, they're all invalid. And therefore it's a chazak after 3 years. Why? If in year two he's making a macha that directly contradicts the macha he made in year number one, moda hu dahi macha shlokadinava. He's being moda that macha was done illegally. Vodas baldin kamei edim dami. And once he's moda that first macha was a lie. Meaning, if I make macha number one, and then I come back in year two, and I make a different macha, I say, no, it's not that he's stealing from me, it's that he's an artist. So basically, I'm telling you that my claim in year number one was a lie. And if it was a lie, then it's not a macha. And then year number three, I'm going to come and say my macha in year number two is a lie. But how do I know what I'm saying in year number three is not a lie? Maybe in year number two is true. Or maybe none of them are true, because I keep being machish myself. I'm huchsuk shakran. Ubatul alayhi macha kamaisa. And for sure the second macha is going to be unacceptable. I mean, maybe you could argue the first macha should be acceptable because by the time he made the first macha, he had never been proven to be lying. And now, by the time he's making the second macha, he's a proven liar, so of course you're not going to accept the second macha. So that's what the Rosh Pam is saying. No, by the time he makes the second macha, he's being molded that the first macha is no good. Second macha is no good because he's now huchzak as a liar. We now know that he's a liar by the time he's making the second macha, because he's saying something different than he said last year. And once we know that he's a liar, then we don't take anything he says with any seriousness. So everything he says is thrown out the window. Basically, he lost the ability to make a macha. There's no way that this guy can make a macha anymore. Once he changes his taina, he lost the ability to make a proper macha, and there's the chazakah is automatically going to happen. Fine. Amar Rav Nachman, macha b'fnei shnayim. When you want to make a macha, you need to do it in front of two people. And vein tzarech lomar ksavu. You don't need to instruct the people that you're making the macha in front of that they should write down the macha, so you will have evidence that you in fact made the macha. Says the Rashbam at the bottom. Macha b'fnei shnayim vein tzarech lomar ksavu. Ela kosim lo ha'edim shtar macha al ma'arer. They write it on their own. You don't have to instruct them. They should know on their own that they can write it, and they don't have to ask permission before writing it. Because since writing this shtar macha is purely to help you, so since they're writing it purely to aid you and to help you, so that's perfectly fine. They don't need to ask you permission if they're allowed to write it. This is the concept of zachlo la'adam shelo b'fanav, that you can do something to someone's benefit without them asking you to do it for them, because you have the right to assume that they'd be happy for you to do something that benefits them, that helps them out. So you're allowed to write the shtar macha for him without asking his permission. We've had the concept of Zachlan Mishal B'Fanav many times. Zachlan Mishal B'Fanav is the concept that tells me that if I know that my friend is interested in a certain item and I happen to be walking down the street and it's just lying there in the street, I know he very much wants $100 bill, and there's $100 bill right there in the street, so I'm allowed to pick it up and make the kinyan for him, even though he never asked me to make the kinyan for him, because that's a zuchus for him. I can make such a kinyan for him. And that's going to be the rule. We're going to give a whole set of halachos over here of what needs to be done in front of how many people, and whether you need to instruct the people to write or whether they can write on their own. The rule is always going to be, if it's a zuchus, they can write on their own. If it's not a zuchus, they can't write it on their own. They need to discuss it with you first. Now, Tosfos over here has a few important comments. Macha b'fnei shnayim ein tzarech lomar ksavu, says Tosfos, v'im tomar, uma mo'la ksiva. Why does writing help? A shtar always is only going to work when the person who becomes obligated through the shtar, when the person who loses as a result of the shtar, gives his das to the shtar. Kigon shtar mecher midas mocher, v'shtar matana midas nosein. If you write a shtar mecher and the mocher has no idea that you wrote a shtar mecher, that's a piece of garbage. That's not a shtar mecher. You need the das mechayiv. You need the das of mechayiv. You need the das of the person who's going to be mechayiv himself in the shtar. Shtar matana, you need the das of the nosein matana. Shtar milva midas lova. If you write a loan document, then you better have the das of the person who's lending the money. Ve'edus nami lo chashiv. So it can't be a shtar So it doesn't have the validity of a shtar. So why else would you write it down? Oh, you want to say it's Eidos? It's not Eidos either. Demipiyam, lo mipik savam, pirush rashi, pirush hachomish, shlo yichlu veidus on bigeros, v'yishlichu lebeisin. You're not allowed to write Eidos, and Eidos has to be done verbally, orally. Eidos cannot be done in a shtar. You can't have Eidos just in writing, so it doesn't have a status of Eidos either. So what does it help? So you have two guys write down a shtar. This guy made a macha. It shouldn't help anything. So it says Tosus Yeshlomer the Takanas Chachamhi Sheichashuv Eidus Kedei Levatal Chazaka BeEidus Kaldehu, that the Enochidami it shouldn't be Eidus. The Rabbanon were Mesakein that it counts as Eidus because the Rabbanon want to allow a person to be Mevatal Chazaka with any little bit of Eidus. Shebedaver Muat Mevatal Chazaka, with even the tiniest little Eidus, we're willing to be Mevatal Chazaka. To Afilu Yisbar Lanu Shloshama Amachzik Macha Mahani Levatal Chazaka. He says, after all, even if we somehow figured out that the Marakama never heard of the that the machzik never heard the macha, that also helps to be mivatal the chazaka. V'gam b'moda'a takanas chachamim hi lahatzil hanenas. And so moda alone is a special takana. Just let it be known. Write it down in the document. So Enoch Nami doesn't have the halachic validity of a shtar, nor does it have the halachic validity of edus, but that's all you need. All you need is a moda'a. That's what it is. It's a moda'a. It's letting it be known that the guy made a macha. V'kim shtoros nami mishum demaisa bezin hu v'kol maisa bezin nichtav shalom iratzon achayiv. And kim shtoros also is a maisa bezin. And a maisa bezin doesn't need to have the halachic validity of a shtar itself, nor of edus itself. So how are we mekayim shtoros? We're mekayim shtoros by writing down that we know that this shtar is a valid shtar. Then he says an even more phenomenal chiddush. He says, no, I heard in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that it's normal to give testimony in writing. Aye, what about mipiyam v'lo mipik savam? You're not allowed to give testimony in writing. The chashav edus v'adarshin b'sifrim mipiyam v'lo mipik savam lo asa el lemutei dafke ilem she'eno bar hagada. Aval roy lagada ein agada ma'akevas bo. Unbelievable that when do we say mipiyam v'lo mipik savam is a problem that you need to hear the edus directly verbally from the people and it can't be written? That just means that you can't have a mute person give edus. They just have to be a bar hagada. But once the person is capable of verbalizing and saying the edus, then it's not necessary that he actually do it. Very similar to the concept of kolaroy lebile and bile makeves bo. They have by the karban mincha that it's not necessary to actually mix, to do the belila, mixing the flour with the oil, but you at least need enough of a percentage of a ratio of oil to flour to be able to mix it all in properly. Now it's similar to the concept we have of tevila. Kolaroy lebias mayim, ein bias mayim makeves bo. Why is it that a woman has to brush her teeth before she goes to the mikveh, make sure there are no chatzitzes in her teeth, yet she doesn't have to open up her mouth in the mikvah? Because by the base of starim, the halacha is that you don't need the water to actually go in as long as it's ra'ui l'bias mayim. So the same idea over here. By hagadas edus, you don't need the edus actually said in words, but you need it to be ra'ui to have been said in words, meaning the person has to have been capable of saying the words. The Gemara Ksubas says, let's say you know Eidos, you see something, and you quickly write down what you see, and then 10 years later you called on to testify about it. If you don't remember what you saw, you only remember it by reading it, by reading your own account of it, then that's not good enough. You can't say such Eidos. If when you read your account of it, you then remember what you saw, that's okay. But wait a second, if your Eidos is good enough in writing, why is this a problem when you're only remembering based on what you wrote down? Hainu k'sheinu motzi k'sav yad of Beis Din. So it says that's because your k'sav yad wasn't recorded in Beis Din as Eidos. What's counting as the Eidos in Beis Din? Your statement right now. The k'sav yad is just your own personal notes. So it's not good enough if you only remember your Eidos from the k'sav yad. And second important idea is that maybe when it's one aid writing b'ksav, it's not considered aidos. Shein shtar el bebeis. Meaning that's why that was the problem with Ksubas. A single aid who wrote down what he saw 10 years ago, that doesn't count as aidos, even though aidos b'ksav normally works, because aidos b'ksav only works when you have two people. Then the last issue Tos deals with is, what's the chiddush of telling me that you don't need to tell the guys to write it down, that they can write it down on their own? Of course they can write it down on their own. Zachal adam shlo b'fanav. Why wouldn't they be able to write it down on their own? So he says, v'yishlomer da'asul ha'shminan, da'afal pi shlo tziva lam lichta ve'em kasu shetziva k'sheira v'lo mechzi k'shikra. Meaning, even if they write down, we were instructed to write this down, and they weren't instructed to write it down, still it's okay. It's not mechzik hashikra. Because once you're telling them the macha, you're giving the macha in front of their faces, obviously it's because you intend for them to write it down. So you don't have to go, so when they write that they were instructed to do so, it's not a lie. It's not considered sheker. Okay, we got 10 minutes. We got to finish up here. Says the Gemara Vayter, moda'a b'fnei shnayim, v'ein tzarech lomar ksavu. A moda'a is given in front of two people, and you don't need to tell them to write it down. What's a moda'a? If someone is going to force me into a deal that I'm not interested in making, someone's going to force me into selling them something, and I don't want to sell it to them, but they're stronger than me, they're more powerful than me. So what I do is I go over to two Eidim before I write the shtar, before I make the kinyan on that deal, and I tell the two Eidim, I'm not interested in this deal, I'm only doing it because he's forcing me, and I hereby invalidate the shtar that I'm going to write tomorrow. Now, that only works if you go over to those two people before you write the shtar. If you go over to them after you wrote the shtar, then it's too late. Why? Because then any deal that you make that you later regret, you'd be able to go back on just by going over to two people and invalidating it and claiming that you were forced into it. So it has to be done in advance. But if you do it in advance, you can go over to two people, tell it to them, and you don't even need to tell them to write down your moda'a. They should know on their own that they're allowed to write down their moda'a. Because it's a zuchus for you to write down that moda'a because you want to invalidate this deal. If you're moda that you owe money in front of two people, they're not allowed to write down that hoda'a unless you tell them to write it down. Why not? Because now it's mechayiv you. A hoda'a is mechayiv you. It's not a zachan la'adam situation. It's a chavin la'adam. So they need your permission. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, ve'en tzarech lomar ksavu. You can make a kinyan in front of two people, a kinyan sudar on something in front of two people. You don't need a moshav tlas of a beis din, and you don't need to tell them to write it down. The Gemara is going to explain why. V'kiyum shtaros b'shlosha, but in general, if you want to be mekayim shtar, kiyum shtaros requires three people. It's not good enough to have two people. How does kiyum shtaros work? So the Rashbam explains. You go to Beis Din, you bring the Edim who are signed on the Shtar, they are made about their own Ksav Yad in front of the Beis Din. Right, what do? We have all three Dayanim say, the two Edim who are signed on the Shtar came in front of us, they verified their signature, and we the Dayanim are now being hereby being mekayim the shtar, and you sign all three dayanim. But that's why you dafka need three on the bottom, because if you have two people sign on the bottom, then it's no stronger than the original signatures of the shtar itself. There were two signatures on the shtar already, so two people signing on the bottom doesn't add any koach that it didn't have before. So that's why you dafka has to be three people when it comes to kiyum shtar. So that's what the Rashbam explains. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. So we just said five separate halachas. I think it was five. Right, machaz in front of two people, moda has to be in front of two people. Right, five different halachos. So says Rava, ikashali hakashali. The only one I have a problem with, the only of those five halachos that I have an issue with, is the following one. Hai kinyan echidami. What's the case of kinyan bifnei shnayim, where he said a kinyan is done in front of two people, and you don't need to tell them to write it down. They can know on their own that they're supposed to write it down. If kinyan is considered like a ma'isa beizdin, then you should need three people. And if it's not like a ma'isa beizdin, why don't you need to tell them to write it down? After all, isn't it chavinlo? Isn't it a chov for him? Because you're losing out on whatever it is that you're being makne, right? So isn't it a chov? So basa debayi hada pashta. So after Rava asked this question, he answered himself. And he said, "The olam lav k'maisa beizin dami. It's not a maisa beizin. V'hacha time in my demus orach lam ruksovo yishum d'stam kinyan l'ksiva omein. The reason you don't need to instruct them to write it down, and they're allowed to write it down without your permission, is because the assumption is that any kinyan is meant to be written down. Since a kinyan is usually a final part of the deal, so generally speaking, any kinyan and every kinyan is meant to be written down, so it's understood that that's the next stage in the process of what you do. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu Lo Kasvina Moda'a Ela Aman Delotzayis Dina. Rabbi Rav Yosef, going back on the halacha of a moda'a, where I need to make a moda'a that I'm being forced into a deal, so they say you can only make a moda'a for someone who otherwise would not listen to a din Torah, who wouldn't allow himself to follow the din and be brought to court. Why am Andal Otsayas Ladina? So says Rashbam, sovereign bedin, the Otsayas Dina, if he's a guy who's going to listen to what the Beis Din says, Lemele lo anisas, dika anislach, amela tavis le bedina. Right? The guy can have a claim and he could say, look, I must have not forced you into this deal, because if I did force you into this deal, why didn't you just bring me to Beis Din to stop me? So why give him a da? You should have brought me to Beis Din. Why are you doing everything privately? Bring me to Beis Din. So that's why Zdavka, if you can tie it back to him. No, you're a guy who's not Sayis Ladina. You're a guy who's known to never listen to Beis Din. So I couldn't bring you to Beis Din. That's why I had to go this other route and I had to make a Moda'a. Abai v'rav adami tavayu, afilu alaiva alecha. They both say, Abai and Rava disagree, and they say, no, a Moda'a could even be written on people like me and you, Abai and Rava said. Meaning even people who absolutely would listen to Beis Din. Amrin Adai, kol Moda'a, because you don't want to be matriach to go to Beis Din, that's the point. The guy might be Tzayis Ladina, but still you can write a Moda'a. Amrin Adai, kol Moda'a, deloksiba anan yadinan bebu unsa de planya, lav Moda'ihi. Any moda'a that doesn't say explicitly in the moda'a that we know that so-and-so was forced into this is not a valid moda'a. So moda'a demai. Idigit, what do you mean? A moda'a for what? What are you trying to invalidate over here? Idigitu dematanta gulimil sabalmahi. So if it's moda'a on a get or a matana, so all you need is gilimilsa, right? That you don't give your das over for this transaction. And that's it. Vidis vini, but if it's and you don't need any further than that. But vidis vini, but if it's for a sale, v'amar Rava lo kasvina moda'a zvini. But Rava says we don't write a moda'a on a sale. So what are we talking about over here? That what kind of moda'a is it that you're writing a moda'a and they have to dafka write such a lashon that we know that you are ma'anes him? Why should, if it's for a get or matana, that's unnecessary. That's over the top, more than you need. And if it's for a sale, you don't write a moda'a on a sale. Why don't you write a moda'a on a sale according to Rava? So the Rashbam explains, nearly time of the Rava Mishum Damrin Lekaman Pirkin Hilchsa Tuliyo V'Zavin Zvini Zvini. A forced sale is valid. V'lo Amrinel B'Sad Estam Shekafu Limchar Achas Misadosav V'Bir Me'atzma Achas Me'an. But that's only if you force him to sell you one of your fields and you choose which field it's going to be. U'machra D'Lavi Ones, because that's not a real Ones, because you chose which field to give him. But if a guy says, I want this field and I'm not taking anything else, and then you force him, then it's not a valid sale. That's why we don't write a moda'a. Because if he identified exactly which field he wants, well, then the sale's invalid anyway. It's unnecessary to write a moda'a. All you need to do is prove that you were forced. And you don't need an actual moda'a. The mechira is invalid anyway. And if it's by Sada Stam and you chose which field you're going to give him, he just said, I'm forcing you to sell me one of your fields. Well, that's not called an onus anyway, because you chose. That's called doing a peratzon. So he holds that by any case of a mecher, by definition, you're never going to have a moda'a. So answers the Gemara, no, liola and desvini. Really, it's a moda'a and a sale. Modi Rava Hechida Anus to Kamaisa de Pardesa. Rava's moda that if the onus happens in a similar way to the Maisa de Pardesa, that we can have a moda'a on a sale. What's that Maisa? Do Gabri, the Mashkon Pardesa, the Chavri, the Slashnin. A guy gave his Pardes as a Mashkon to his friend for 3 years. Basa Dachot Hashne Chazaka, after 3 years of Chazaka, Amar Imazavanasli mutav. The friend says, if you want to sell me the field, that's great. V'lo kavishal shtar mashkanta v'aminu l'kuchi biyadi. And if you don't want to sell it to me, I'm just going to hide the shtar mashkon, and I'm going to claim that I bought the field, and I have a chazak on it now. So ki agavna kosvin modah. In that type of situation, we do write a modah. And since it's modah and a sale, the modah has to be a full-fledged modah, where you say, anani yadinan bay, ba'unsa deplanya. That we know with certainty that this person had to sell the field, but onus. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. A little bit behind. We'll catch up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.